Amen. Amen. He's trustworthy. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of things that we could put our trust in, but he's the one that's truly worthy of it. Amen. No matter how far you go in your trust with him, you'll never exceed his faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Just thankful for that this evening. That, amen. We can fully put our confidence in our Lord. Amen. Knowing that he's working out all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. And that his word will never fail. His word is going to accomplish what he sent it to do. Amen. Not one bit of that word will come to naught. Amen. Every part of it's going to be fulfilled. Amen. So thankful for that. We can rest on that tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads while we're standing here tonight. Father, just once again, we're thankful to be gathered together, Lord. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I can depend on you no matter what, Lord. No matter what life throws at me, Lord, no matter how the world seems to change, things change, and life seems to be going at such a fast speed sometimes, but yet, Lord, your word never changes. Lord, your thought was perfect the first time. Lord, you never need to learn anything. You never need to improve in anything because you're perfect and eternal, Lord. You're the unchanging God. You've never changed your mind. Lord, when you look through the portals of time and you loved us, Lord, you never stopped loving us. You never will stop loving us. Lord, that is an eternal condition, Lord. Oh God, how we are so thankful for that, Lord. We're just making our calling and election sure, Lord. To make sure, make it certain, find out that we're the children of the living God. But Lord, when you come and make it sure, it's locked in for eternity, Lord. We know that that was your thought before time began. We know that that'll be your thought when time ends. That we're yours. We belong to you. Oh God, how we love you this evening, Lord. We can depend on you, Lord. We can depend on your word. We can take our soul and we can rest our soul on your word. Knowing, Lord, that it is eternal. That it is you, Lord. It can never fail. I pray that you just bless your people tonight, Lord. Fathers, we just look to your word tonight. I pray that you would minister to our needs, Lord. That you would speak to our hearts. Lord, sometimes all we need is just to hear your voice. Lord, just to hear a reassuring word, a word fitly spoken in due season, something to remind us of who we are and what we've been called to, and how much you love us, and how you're taking care of us and watching over us, how you're guarding us, Lord, as a wonderful, loving Father. I pray that you just bless each one, Lord. May they hear specially from you tonight. Lord, just right where they are, right where they need, Lord God, may you speak to them specially. Lord, speak to their hearts directly, Lord. They know that they've heard from you. They know that they haven't just come to hear a man speak, Lord, but that they've come to hear the oracles of God spoken to their hearts. The revelation of your word carried, Lord. Carried on the Logos word. But yet it becomes a living word in our hearts. We love you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the song specials, the songs that have been sung, Lord, the worship. God, we thank you for those surrendering their gifts to you, Lord. Lord, I know that you're pleased, Lord, to see your children, Lord, letting go and let you have your way. Lord, we want to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. So we just approach your word tonight with humility, Lord, asking you to speak to us and teach us, Lord, what you would have us to know, what you would have us to hear for this day and this time, wherever we may be in our lives. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to just continue the thought we started here this morning. Part two. Amen. If we could just go to Acts chapter 7. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. Amen. We just appreciated the song special tonight. And amen. The one this morning as well. I don't think I mentioned it this morning, but it really makes a difference. It matters. Amen. So, when you surrender to those things, it makes the service a little more special. Amen. So we just appreciate you all for that. Amen. And praise the Lord. Brother Eli let me know this morning that he had taught, he fills in for me on Sunday school when I'm not able to, like this morning. And he let me know that he had taught a Sunday school lesson that was exactly the same subject that we were taking tonight, and that he had been given my class some homework, and that I was giving them all the answers. So, but you got to remember it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we see the Holy Spirit at work there. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verse 47. Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Now, he dwelt in that temple, right? His glory came into that house. In fact, when Solomon built it, you can go read there in the Old Testament how, it says that the presence of God coming down into the sweeping into that place, it overwhelmed them. It was an incredible spiritual experience. But yet, he's saying he's not dwelling in those temples made with hands. Amen. He didn't dwell in that temple in the same way that he wants to dwell in us. Amen. He said, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. And then Ephesians 2, verse 19. We also read that this morning. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What a blessing. Amen. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. That we would be a habitation of God. Amen. A dwelling place of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. So we saw this morning, we don't want to re-preach what we did preach this morning, but we just want to catch us up, to remind us, amen, review a little bit. We saw how God was working out his plan through the temple and the tabernacle and through the tabernacle in the wilderness, amen, and then the temple, and then in Christ, right, all the time dwelling with man, and then in a man. Amen. And now in his body, the body of Christ on earth, his spirit dwelling in a many-membered body. Amen. Where he dwelt in Christ, man, God among us in a man. now the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit dwelling in His body. Amen? Amen. And we have become a temple of the living God. Not that we would, each one of us would be all of God, but a small portion. Amen? A portion of His Spirit that would dwell in us. And that dwelling place is not, it's not about a building, it's not about a structure, it's not about anything made of stone or wood or any natural material in those ways, but that He is building individuals and lives as living, lively stones that are growing and maturing, amen, that are growing in His image, that are being builded up, as He said, through the preaching of the Word and through the ministration of the Spirit, and they're growing in their place in the body of Christ. Amen? And that He is building a house for His dwelling place that is made up of individuals that all come together to form the body of Christ. And again, just so we're clear, we're not just speaking about this body, this local assembly. We're speaking about the body of Christ all over the world. Amen? The universal body of Christ. But we realize that not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is part of that body. Just because they call themselves a Christian doesn't mean they've been truly born again by the Spirit of God. You must be born again by the Spirit of God to be a new creature, to be born into the true church of the living God. They're potentially, right, believing on Christ, they potentially have that, but until they've actually been born again, there's many, many that claim the name of Christ that, you know, I mean, Hitler probably claimed to be a Christian. I don't know, right? There's lots of bad people that claim to be Christians, right? And we know their lives do not line up with the gospel. And so we understand that there's a progression that God brings us through, and that being placed into that body is being like a stone placed into a building, a temple that God is building. Amen? And each individual must be sanctified, and they must be consecrated. They must be cleaned out. They must have the attributes of Christ on display. They must be washed by the water of the Word, and their lives must match up to the gospel. Amen? Amen? And we saw how that the true church is built on the cornerstone of Christ, who that is the cornerstone of the foundation, and then the foundation was built upon the apostles and prophets and the whole New Testament that Paul laid, that foundation that is tied to Christ. And if any man tries to build outside of that, let him be accursed, is what Paul said. Is that right? Amen. And that cornerstone, that rock that the church is being built on, is the same one that we tie our lives to. Because Jesus Himself told us, the first time He mentions the church, the first time He utters that word in the Bible, amen, He says, upon this rock I'll build my church. The revelation of who Jesus Christ was. That God would come and reveal it. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Nobody taught it to you. Somebody didn't take you and give you a lecture. Somebody didn't send you to Bible school and teach it to you. But God revealed it to you. Divinely inspired revelation. And He said it's that divine inspired revelation of who Jesus Christ is to you personally is what becomes the rock foundation that the church is built upon. And anything else is off of the foundation. Amen. And can be torn down. It's not part of the blueprint. Right? Amen. We want to continue a little further here and look at some of the things that Jesus said about building upon the rock. In Matthew 7:24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Amen? Amen. Now, this is a parable that he's talking about where a wise man would build his house on a solid foundation, right? But he's a wise man, right? He's not going to build his church on anything less, right? He says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. These are all symbols of the storms of life. Winds of doctrine. Spirits, evil spirits that come against believers and the church. Amen? Rains descended, floods came, winds blew. They beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. He doesn't even say anything about how the house is built. He just is telling you it's got to be founded on the rock. Right. It could be the strongest house in the world. Right. It could be solid concrete, steel, whatever. But if it's not on the rock. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the flood came. Same things. Same trials. Same testings. Same human condition. Both going through the same things. Winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, like I said, he didn't even talk about how the house was built. Maybe the second house was the greatest steel beam, you know, it's one of these earthquake-proof houses. It's the latest technology. Man, this thing is never going to fall. It's like the Titanic, right? The unsinkable ship. Amen? And people think they got their lives all figured out. They think they're bulletproof. Amen? I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know who I am. But if they don't put their life on the rock, amen? Great will be the fall of it. I don't care how good it looks. How smart they are. Amen? Hallelujah. Our lives should be placed on the rock. Anything that's not built on the foundation of His revealed Word. Amen? The revealed Word. Not the intellectual Word. You can't build your experience on an intellectual understanding. Well, you know, my Bible school professor said this. Well, that's nice. Have you heard from God? Amen? Has the Spirit of God revealed that to you? Or are you just repeating what an academic said? Now, it's good to repeat the true Word of God until you get a revelation of it. But you can't build on it until it's a revelation. Amen? And the problem is that too many people take an intellectual understanding of a portion of the Word and then they try and build on that. And they don't know. They don't know for sure. Amen? When you know, you know. We do that all the time with various promises of God. The Word says, I'm healed. All right, is it a revelation that you are healed in this case? That you know you're healed? Maybe not. Well, you keep confessing it until you know. But until you know, it's not a rock. It's not something that you can rely on. You're still guessing. You're still hoping. You're still praying. You're still fighting the battle. You're still pressing to the promise. You're still holding on. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then when you know, then it's a rest. You're resting on a rock. Amen? So anything that's not built on the foundation of the Word is sure to crumble. Our church, our lives, our marriages. Amen? Our friendships. Yeah. Our family, our jobs, whatever. Amen? Everything that we do should come back to being built on the rock. I'm looking to take a job. I'm looking to move. I'm looking to choose a church. It should be come back to that. Your revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. It should be built on that first. If that isn't in place, if two people think, well, we like each other and we're thinking about getting married, are you on the rock? If your marriage isn't built on the rock, great. Could be the fall of it. You're gonna run into problems. Amen? He's building a body. He's building a resting place. He's building a place where he can dwell and move and work on earth. Hands that he can use. Feet that he can use. Mouths that he can use, bodies that he can use for his glory, lives that he can work through. Amen. But that, those lives have to come back to and be founded on the rock. Amen. So what we want to look at tonight is we want to look at some of the characteristics of the true church and of the individuals that are part of this building, amen? Part of this house. What's it to be, what's it to be constructed of? What are the characteristics of these ones? Amen? And we can look at that original temple, whether it would be the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple in the Old Testament, where God would come and meet with his people. Amen? And one of the characteristics or one of the purposes of it was so that their sin could be dealt with. Right? That's where, sacrifices were brought. And where their sin, where the blood could be sprinkled on the altar. Where their sins could be dealt with. Amen? Where they could come and receive atonement. Where they could come and receive pardon and forgiveness for their sins. Amen? And where they could ask God, Lord, what should I do? Where should I go? I have a decision to make. Help me. Give me direction. Give me guidance. Give me direction in my life. Amen? And a place where people would come and to worship God and to honor him. They would bring all kinds of different offerings and sacrifices. Some were thanksgiving offerings and some were offerings for, there was many, right? Offering for this and offerings for that. But they were all a form of different ways of honoring God and worshiping God. And communing with God. And the temple, that was the center of all of their feasts and even their calendar and everything in their lives revolved around this. They would plan around it. Amen? That's how important it was. They would construct their lives around worshiping God in the temple. Amen? And yet, as we mentioned this morning, only a few actually could go into the very inner parts of the temple. But so what we want to look at, if that is the type, right? That is the original, that Old Testament physical temple is the type and the shadow that's speaking of this body on earth. Amen? His body. What are the attributes that we should be looking for in the church of God. We spoke about some of those this morning, but we want to expand on a little bit of that tonight, if the Lord would be willing. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. So the first thing is that there's life. Amen. That's the first thing. And really, it's the main thing, if you think about it, that there is life. You know, you could, if we're talking in the natural, you could build a beautiful tabernacle. They could have built the most exquisite, wonderful temple that existed. But if his presence didn't come down, big deal, right? Just like any of the other heathen nations that would just build a nice building, right? It has to be a living tabernacle. There has to be life. Amen? That's the first attribute of his church, is that they have life. Not human life. Not what we call our humanity of life, the natural breath. That's not what we're talking about. We're because the Bible says that, you know, those that live in sin are they live a life of death. They're not alive. They have human life. Sure, they're walking around and they can talk to you and they have a human life, but they're dead in their sins. The finality of death is hanging over them. We wouldn't say they have life, because what they have is just a temporary time. Amen? But the church of the living God is not a dead church. The church of the living God is not a cemetery. The church of the living God is not a dead morgue. Amen? It's not a place for dead people. You know, we've been singing that song that I really like so much, and it kind of just speaks to me that I was made for more, right? And it says, I wasn't made to be tending the grave, right? I wasn't made to be hanging around death. I wasn't made to be wallowing in sorrow. We sorrow for a while. Right, we grieve when we lose someone or someone goes on, but we don't grieve as the world grieves. We grieve in our humanness and we grieve in our humanity and we go through it. We don't stay in it, right? And we're not made to be looking back. We're made to be looking forward. To me, that's what that song expresses, right? It's like when Elijah came to Elisha, and he threw his cloak around Elisha, right? And he said, well, let me go and bury my father, right? And he said, what have I to do with thee, right? Let the dead bury the dead. Don't look back. Press on. Move forward. Amen? And as a church, the church can't be looking back. She has to be looking forward. Now, we honor what has been done in the past, and we thank God for it, but we press on to the mark. Amen? We're not walking looking backwards. You can't walk forward while looking back. Amen? It's like, you know, Brother Branham gave that little illustration of those that were riding the bike. They had a little competition, and they were riding a bike over a very narrow plank, right? And the little kids wanted to see who could balance their bike riding across that, right? And some of them, they were really good bike riders, and they would hold it for a little while, and then they would fall off. And then this one, I think it was a little girl, jumped on there, and she right across. And they said, well, how did you do that? And she said, well, I just looked at the end. I looked at where I wanted to go, and I just started riding. And the focus was on the destination. It wasn't getting caught up, oh, if I move a little bit here or move a little bit there, and what happens, and look over to the side and look over to that side, and right? It's, where am I going? Amen. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking to the side. I'm looking forward. Amen. And they have life. They're not a dead church.
Right, right.
Amen? There's a newness that comes with life. There's vitality in their worship. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I know that I know I'm not alone in this. I hope I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone in this. Right? But sometimes in our walk, we can feel our worship getting stale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You know when that's happening. You can tell I'm getting into a routine. Right? You can tell it doesn't feel as fresh and new and living as it should. And you, in those times, you just pray to God, Lord, help me. Snap me out of it, Lord. Don't let my praise, don't let my worship become stale or old. Don't let me be living on manna from yesterday. Let me be living on the fresh experience of the Spirit of God. Amen? And we all have to battle that because death is all around us. I'm speaking of spiritual death. We live in, we are in the time of the third Exodus. Amen? And in the second Exodus, the last plague was death. It was spiritual death. Right? In those days, it was physical death. But in our day, it's spiritual death. All around us, the death angel. Amen? The death is pressing in on every side. But we have to keep pressing in. We have to be on guard. Amen. And that's a characteristic of his body, that she worships from a fresh experience. And when she feels herself beginning to get lukewarm, she cries out. She battles against it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know I'm not the only one that goes through those things. Amen. We all battle those things. But the key is we're battling it. We're not succumbing to it. We haven't given over to it. We're not accepting it. We're not allowing the devil to convince us that it's okay to have a lukewarm experience. We're not buying those lies. Amen? We believe in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost experience. And that it can be new and refreshing. Amen. Another characteristic of the church of the living God is that they are holy. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know you not you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Now that brings a very solemnness to it, doesn't it? Defying the temple of God results in destruction. Amen. Him shall God destroy. That's how important it is to God. Amen. She is literally the temple of God on earth. As I said, not that an individual would be the temple of all of God, but a portion of God. And collectively, amen, she makes up the bride body of Christ. Think about holding our type out here now of the Old Testament temple and tabernacle and things, right? Think about the rituals that they had to go through to sanctify, to be ceremonially clean, right? To be able to enter in and to engage in temple worship. They could just touch some sort of animal, and that was it. You were unclean, right? They'd have to go through a process. Remember, Jesus dealt with all types of these different things when he walked on earth. The woman that had the blood issue, right? She she couldn't be ceremonially sanctified because of her blood issue. Right? And like I said, you could touch an animal or eat the wrong thing, right? There's hang out with a Gentile. Right? I still get a good chuckle out of that was their prayer, man. Thank God that you didn't make me a Gentile. Thank God you didn't make me a woman, and thank God you didn't make me a dog. That's what they prayed. Right? How proud. How proud, right? But you know, being around a Gentile or something like that, they could become ceremonially unclean, right? And so there was a lot of things that they had to do, a lot of rituals, and they had to be done perfectly, and they had to be followed to the letter, and they had to be exact, and they did everything they could to keep that physical temple sanctified for the purpose. Because they realized that it was death if they didn't. They realized how serious it was if they didn't. That it meant death. They weren't playing around with it. They weighing just, you know, halfwaying it. They weren't just winging it. Right? They wanted to be sure. They had to know that we've got this right. Everything is in its right place. Everything has been clean. Everything has been done perfectly according to God's order and God's law. And if it wasn't, it meant physical death, and it meant that their sins could not be pardoned. Amen? So it had to be sanctified for his presence to come down into the holiest of holies. Amen? And we are the temple of God. And it must be a clean temple. Amen? The Spirit of God that dwelleth in you should not be defiled. For the temple of God is holy. Amen. The temple of God is holy. Jesus said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again. Yeah. Right? That's what he was speaking about. He was speaking about the temple. Right? That's what he was. They thought he was talking about the main building temple. But he was talking about his body. Right? Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again. And brother, sister, that's our testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that's our testimony. Amen. That we've got life in us. And if you destroy this temple, God's going to raise it up again. Amen. This temple may go into the ground. This temple may be eaten by skin worms. It may be burnt by fire. It may be buried in the ground. It might disintegrate. But yet I know God's going to raise it up again. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've preached many, many times, and no doubt we will many, many more, just reminding us again about holiness and sanctification, that we must be clothed in righteousness, clothed in His righteousness. Amen? Not relying on our own works for our righteousness, but relying on Him. Amen? Relying on the cleansing of us from our sins by His blood and by His word. Trusting in that. Amen? But having a humble heart, having the humility to say, Lord, I'm wrong. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Because He can't cleanse you and forgive you unless you confess your faults. But having the humility to allow yourself to be continually washed by the water of the Word, to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God come down into your life and speak to you right where you are and point out things. Amen? To take a spotlight and shine it with a million lumens of light and shine it on a place in your life that says, you know, you're not quite right here. You need to tighten things up over there. You need to repent of that. You need to leave that behind. You need to be doing this thing that you're not doing. You need to let that person know that you're sorry. You need to go repent and make it right. Whatever it is, you need to line up with the word over here. Amen. And the preaching of the word will come and it will be hard, and you have to have the humility to say, Lord, I'm wrong. Amen. I didn't mean to, but I made a mistake, or I'm just human, and we all make mistakes, but that's how we're cleansed continually, by the washing of the water of the word. It doesn't just happen automatically. You have to repent. Right? Amen. When we fail, we have to repent quickly. The more quickly we do it, little secret here, right? From someone who's done it a few times. The quicker you are to repent, the better off you'll be. The easier it'll be. Amen? The longer you let it go, the worse it gets. Brother Doug always likes to say, his little saying is, you know, bad news doesn't get better with time. Right? Well, when you know you've done something wrong, that's the time to make it right. Amen? So, when she fails, she repents quickly. She goes right to the throne of grace and mercy. And thank God there is grace and mercy. Amen. And he's still calling. He's still drawing. He's still saying, come, be cleansed. Amen. Dip your heart in the fountain of life. Be cleansed. And because of that, the Bible says that the characteristic of the church in this last day would be that she zealously repents. Amen. She does with a zeal, with a desire, because she's excited to be right. Yes. Amen. Amen. I want to be right. I want to do what God wants me to do. Because I know that that's what's going to be best for me. Right. Amen. Even if it's something that my flesh isn't too excited about. Right? Even if it goes against what I thought was the right thing. Even if it means taking my pride and... Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen? Having to admit, I was wrong. Amen. But I know that he's right. Amen. And I want to zealously repent. Amen. I want to zealously make it right. Amen? Because God has just revealed to me something that's hindering me. Wouldn't you want to know what's hindering you? Right. Wouldn't you want to know what's holding you back? What's right. weighing you down? What's keeping you? Maybe it's dampening your worship. It's right. keeping you from Amen. Obtaining a promise. It's keeping you from going on. Right. It's keeping you from the power of God moving in your life in a greater way, from opening doors that you didn't even know were there. Right. From taking you places that you didn't even know you would go. And he just reveals to you what it is. And too many people see that and they go, no, not me. Right? Their pride raises up. Right? And then they blame the messenger.
Right.
Amen. It's that preacher. It's that pastor. Why is he always harping on that? Well, maybe the Spirit of God is trying to tell you something.
Right.
Maybe he's trying to reveal something for your own good.
Right. Sure.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm excited when I have an opportunity to remove a roadblock, right. to remove something that's keeping me from spiritual blessings. I want it.
Amen?
Amen? Amen.
Amen.
When I like hard preaching. Scald me. Cut. This flesh isn't my friend. My pride isn't my friend. I want to know. Give it to me straight. Don't beat around the bush. Amen? Tell me. I want to know what's keeping me from a blessing. If there's anything, right?
Amen.
The humanity side doesn't always rejoice, but my soul rejoices. My soul loves it. My soul loves the preaching of the word. Amen? It loves being washed by the water of the word. Just getting the dust and the muck and the grime of unbelief of the world off of you. Amen? True church is excited about being scrubbed. Amen. Give me that Scotch-Brite pad. Amen? Let's shine it up. Get that stuff off of there. The longer you leave it on, the harder it is to get off. You all know what I'm talking about. I don't like doing dishes. I let my wife do the dishes. But I try and help in other ways. I don't like that stuff that gets on there. You leave it, it gets worse. Amen? Clean it up. Get it out. Those little demons grow up. Amen? Those little foxes spoil the vines. Those little Amorites grow into big Amorites. Amen. Hallelujah. She readily accepts correction. Amen. She receives the truth as a sign of God's love for her. Because the Bible says he chastens and rebukes his children. Those that he loves. Somebody else's child he doesn't bother. But his children he does. He's getting after us because he loves us. Our pastor loves us, so he gets after us. He wants the best for us. Amen. He's helping you cut off the flesh. Trying to get rid of unbelief. So that the faith can flourish in your life. Shaping us into lively stones. Amen. That can be properly fitted into the house of God. You can't fit if you got that stuff hanging off you. You got to have it cut off. You got to have it shaved off. You've got to be shaped and molded to be able to fit. There's unbelief that you can't take with you. Amen? When you go, we're mixing metaphors here, but when you go into the promised land, there's things you can't take with you. You can't take the mindset of an Egyptian into the promised land. You can't live like the world and live in the house of God. Amen? Unbelief hanging on out in our lives, sucking up our time and energy. They're like little suckers. They're like little parasites that want to drain you. Amen? And it takes effort. It takes surrender to get rid of them. To cut them off. To toss them in the fire. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Another characteristic of the Church of the Living God is that she waits on the Lord. Amen. That temple, those believers, they wait on the Lord. They don't get ahead of the head. Amen. They don't presume and get outside of the program of God. They're humble enough to say, Lord, if I don't know, I'm going to wait. Amen. I want to be right. Amen. Amen? I want to do things your way. And we talked about it here before, but I thought maybe we could just bring this up again. At this time, the great example of David, who couldn't build the temple to house the ark, and the ark at that time, at one time there, the ark was captured by a rival nation, right? The Philistines, right? We know the story. The ark of God had been captured, and of course that was a great embarrassment to Israel, and It was David wanted to right the wrong. Amen. And he went and they went and they defeated the enemy and they wanted to bring the ark back to Israel. And here was David, a gifted, anointed, called man of God, a king, a prophet, a man after God's own heart. Amen. He was elect of God for that position. He was a great man. One of the greatest men in the Bible. Right? But yet he made a mistake because he consulted with the generals and they all got together and said, well, yeah, let's just bring the ark on, you know, this cart. And they came up with just a very practical, right, way of bringing the ark of God back. And his motives were right. His desire was right. Amen? That was the will of God for the ark to come back to Israel. That's where it belongs. And his motive and objective were right. But it still wasn't done the right way. The way that it was supposed to be done was the ark was supposed to be carried by the priests. Right? And so two out of the three wasn't good enough. Right? So, and part of the reason is because he got caught up in what they were all talking about and what they were all thinking and what they were telling him, kind of what the popular idea was of the time. Right? And so he got caught up in that instead of waiting on the Lord. What he should have done was wait on the Lord and consulted the prophet, right? Gone back to the word. He had a good motive and a good objective, and he just pressed into it without seeing if it was scriptural. Right? And so the right motive is important, the right objective is important, but it must be according to the word of God. It must be done according to the way God wants it done. And so because he failed to consult the word, the prophet of God that was in the land was the word of God to them. Because of that, a man died, right? The ark began to fall off the cart thing, and the guy, again, with a good heart, a good intention, tries to stop it from falling, and he's killed for touching it because he's not supposed to. Right? It brought death. It brought a reproach. It was a failure because he didn't stay with the word. And so the true church, no matter how good something looks, she doesn't get ahead of the word of God. She doesn't walk outside of the word. She doesn't vary to the left or the right. She stays right with that word. Amen. Amen. No matter how much it makes sense, how good it looked, like their method was really the best way to do it. They were using the best technology that they had at the time. Right? And we've talked about this in terms of, you know, it's a type of how a mechanical device is not meant to carry the word. Right? No matter how much technology you have, technology is not a carrier of the word. Individual lives are the carriers of the word. Right? And the true church runs everything right back to that word. We don't rely on good motives. We don't rely on good intentions. Those should be there. You can be sincerely wrong. Amen? She wants to be sincerely right. Hallelujah. And she submits to the authority of that word. That's a characteristic of that body, of that true church, that she is under the authority of that word. I have an idea about something. Well, does my idea match what that word says? And if it doesn't, then I set my idea aside. If it does, then praise God. I'm thinking the way God's thinking. But if I'm not thinking the way God's thinking, I want to make my thoughts go away and think the way he thinks. And the way he thinks is he sets authority in the church. He sets gifts. He sets offices, right? And he sets his word in the church. He establishes that. And she will have the humility to submit to that. She will have the humility to be led like a sheep. You know, a sheep doesn't know the way. Amen. A sheep just follows. Right? But a sheep knows his voice. And another she will not follow. But she does follow. She doesn't try and walk in front. Amen. She has discernment to know the voice of God, but she also has humility to walk behind and follow. Amen. I think sometimes, you know, when we see men that are and women in Pentecostal circles that are gifted and have genuine spiritual gifts, sometimes that's where they're getting into trouble, right? They are not submitting to the Word of God. They're not humbling themselves to walk under the Word of God, and they get out in front, and now suddenly they're commanding God. Yeah, I've seen it, right? They're telling God what to do, right? They're using a spiritual gift to, you know, command God to do this or to heal this or to whatever. We believe in healing and deliverance and provision and all those things. But it's God that's in charge. It's the Holy Spirit that's in charge. Amen? And we must be humble and submit to that word. Because the way that you can tell is many of those same people, you show them something in the Bible. Oh, no, but they'll take a spiritual experience over the Bible. Right? They'll take a dream or a vision or something over what's written in the Word. That's backwards, right? Now you're leading the shepherd. You're saying, I've got this revelation and I'm going forward with it. So we can't do that. We are founded on the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Like I said, that's the rock. Amen? But we know that if we do our part, He'll do His part. If we walk in our lane, so to speak, He can then be God. We allow Him to be God. Like a husband and a wife. Right? Many times if you see a husband and a wife and their marriage is out of balance and they're out of place, the woman is getting into the man's position. Right? Well, it's because she doesn't have enough faith to step into her position and believe that he's going to then step into his. Right. But he can't step into his while she's in it.
Right?
Yeah. As the bride of Christ, we have to stay in our position, knowing and trusting that he's going to be God, that he's going to take care of the rest. Amen? You say, but he's not doing his part, so I've got to do his part for him. No, you're getting ahead of your head. Right? That's what we're talking about. Why press forward into something instead of waiting on God? Getting out in front of how he's working. The Bible calls us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Not to walk ahead of the light. Right? Not to get out in front of the light. Not to press on in our own light, but to walk where he lights our path. Amen? Is that all right tonight? Amen. So that becomes rest for the church, where she walks where he leads her. Amen? She finds a position in the body and is satisfied with it. Satan was not satisfied with his position. And that's the hallmark of Satanism. Satanic thinking is lifted up with pride, not happy with where God has placed you. Right? That was what the devil in the very beginning, right? He wasn't happy, he wasn't satisfied with what God made him to be. He said, I want to be like God. I want to be worshipped like God. I want this and I want that. I will exalt myself and I will do these things. Right? Lifted up in pride. But that is not the hallmark of a true, lively stone in the house of God. They want to be where God wants them to be. I just want to be what you want me to be, Lord. I don't want to be any less. I don't want to be any more. I want to be what you've called me to be. Amen? And then it brings me peace. It brings me comfort. I don't have to be wondering, should I be doing this or should I be doing that or shouldn't I be doing this? I'm just right where I'm supposed to be. And then once she knows that, she's perseverant. She knows her position. She knows her relationship to God, and she knows her relationship to the devil. And she's perseverant, holding on to the word of God. She stays the course because she knows who she is. She knows what's been promised to her. Amen? She holds on with bulldog faith. Because she knows that that promise belongs to her. It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to her. Amen? In the midst of opposition, no matter how hard the opposition might be, the child of God can hold on because they know where they're standing. And then they're likened to a warrior, a spiritual warrior. Amen. I don't feel like a warrior, but you are. Amen. Not a carnal warfare, but a spiritual warfare. She stays the course, fights the fight, holds on, and is humble enough to take a crumb when that's what's offered. Amen. Whatever he wants to give. Hallelujah. Amen. We just want what he wants Amen. To give us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I didn't have time to get to some of these quotes here this morning. I had several statements out of the message that I just ran out of time this morning. So I'd like to read those for you here tonight. And we'll just finish up with several of these statements from the message, kind of just showing where some of this is coming from, kind of reiterating some of the things that we've already been speaking about tonight. Amen? The identified masterpiece of God. He says, he's making a bride. Yes, sir, he's hewing the chips now, chopping off the world. Amen. Chopping off the world. Church joining and creeds and denominations and dogmas all has to be cut away from the church. Formal ideas, their indifference, their doctrines and things. Come back and let the master pick up the bow. He was speaking about that wonderful masterpiece of a violin that nobody wanted until the master musician came and picked it up and began to play it. And then everybody realized what a treasure it was. He says, let the master pick you up and you're in his hands. Amen. And strike the word and say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'd say, amen. Amen, Lord. Amen. Make me, mold me, make me, Lord, what I should be. Then there'll be a different thing. Amen. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You just know that it's different when the master picks you up. Amen. When the master takes your life in his hands. And when he begins to play. When you begin to make a certain sound. When your life begins to express things that are in his word and to manifest things. That's the master at work. It's not something that any man can do. Any person can do. You can't do it yourself. But the master can. He can bring something out in you that nobody saw. Not even yourself. You didn't even know it was there. You didn't even realize that it was buried down deep in your soul. An attribute that he'd placed in your life. But the master can bring it out. Amen. Amen. We just want to surrender to him, don't we? Amen. The stature of a perfect man, he says. Now God, the Bible said here that Stephen spoke of Solomon building a temple. And the Most High don't dwell in temples made with hands. For heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. We read that this morning, right? And where is the place of my rest? But a body hast thou prepared me. Amen. There you are. A body hast thou prepared me. God dwells in the stature of a man, reflecting himself into that being. Perfect worship. Amen. Perfect worship. God in us being his tabernacle, God manifesting. I hope we've backed this all up already with many scriptures. This morning we went through many scriptures, all showing this, right? He's just repeating what we've already read in the scripture. God in us being his tabernacle, God manifesting. Oh, how we could stay on that till you'd almost suffocate in here from the heat. Amen. In other words, there's so much there that we could just dwell on it and we could just ruminate on this word of God. Amen. The stature of a perfect man, continuing on in that same message. He says, when a man possesses these kinds of things, speaking of the different attributes, right? He says, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. And no matter you might speak with tongues or you might impersonate any gift that God's got, you might do that. But until these virtues here got into you, go into you, you're still of the real true, off the real true foundation of faith. Amen. We want to be built on the true foundation of faith. Amen. But when these virtues grow in and you've added that to that, and then you are a living monument. You are a living, moving idol. You know, the heathen, they prostrate themselves before an idol, an imaginary god. And in an imaginary way, they believe that that imaginary god speaks back to them. That's heathenism, right? You know, they worship a little statue or something, and they believe that there's a god that dwells in that little statue, and that if they pray and do offer things to that god in that statue, that somehow he's going to bless their crops or bless this or whatever they happen to be looking for, right? They've got a little god for this occasion and a god for that occasion, a god for, a god for harvest and a god for family and a god for travel, right? All the little, everything they can think of, they got a god for this. He says that's heathenism. That's Romanism. They bow before all kinds of saints and everything else. They've got Saint Cecilia, house god, and so many different things like that. We went into, well, before I tell you that, my grandmother was Roman Catholic, right? She had a statue in her garden. It was the patron, what was it, the patron saint of gardening? I'm looking at my dad. I don't know what it was, right? But I think that's what it was. Saint Francis. Okay, Saint Francis. Right, but they a saint for everything. We went to, I think it was in Española, or not Española. What's the big town in New Mexico? What, Albuquerque? Thank you. Yeah, we were in Albuquerque, and we were down. And of course, Santa Fe has it as well. Santa Fe has the big cat, that big Catholic, whatever that is. Basilica? I don't remember what they call it. Anyway, but they have, some of those same things there in Albuquerque. And we were there looking at little gift shops and things like that. Man, it's like trading cards. Like, right? When you guys know what I'm talking about, right? The baseball cards or trading cards. When I was a kid, they had garbage pail kid cards. That was the big thing. But it was, you collect them all. I don't know what it is, Pokemon now, or they had Pokemon. There's other kind of collectible cards, right? And you got this kind, this. You try and collect them all. They had that for, like, saints. Right? Little card for this saint and a card for that saint. And you could buy this one and that one, and you'd put this one in your car. And so you see what he's saying. He's not just making this up here. They have a Saint Cecilia, house god, and so many different things like that. They bow to that and actually believe that in an imaginary way. They're praying to saints. Right? And it's idolatry. He says they bow to that and actually believe that in an imaginary way. But he says, look at this, what a type it is of the true living God. But when we, not in an imaginary way, but prostrate ourselves before a living God, the one true God, all right? A living God, a living virtue, a living knowledge, a living patience, a living godliness, a living power coming from a living God that makes a living man a living image into the stature of God. You see, Satan's a counterfeiter. All of these things are just counterfeits, but there is a real that it's counterfeit off of. Amen. And that is that God would dwell in his people. That they would be a living image of God. Not all of God, but a portion. Amen. That is, I want to know about God. Well, go to one of his children and they'll tell you about him. They'll show you what he's like by their actions. They'll show you what's in his word by how they live their life. They become an image of God, right? A living demonstration of a living God. So what's he doing? He says the same thing that Jesus did, walking the same way he walked, doing the same things he did, because it's not an imaginary thing. There's a reality that proves it. See what I mean? See how these virtues, these building materials, type in with the church messengers or the church ages. And one of these days we're going to take each one of these words and study them out and show that it proves this. It all goes together. Sure, see? Oh my, how wonderful that is to see what it does. Now that is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top and a high steeple, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body that God can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in. Amen. A living instrumentality of God. God walking in 2 feet, on 2 feet in you. Glory. The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you. For you are written epistles read of all men. And if the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. Amen. From the message Perseverance, he says that don't stop faith. Faith is still there, just as fresh as it ever was. What does faith admit? The truth. She said, that's the truth, Lord. He's speaking about the one that he said that the children's bread is not for the dogs. Like we mentioned this morning, right? And she said, that's the truth, Lord. See how little you can get, not how big you can get. Faith makes you little. Notice, she was still perseverant, yet he wouldn't pay no attention to her. He ignored her, and finally she got in his way, and he couldn't get around her. And then he told her and said, I'm not sent to you and to your race. Your race is nothing but a bunch of dogs. And I'm not going to take the children's bread. It's not right for me to take the children's bread, healing to this group, and give it over to you dogs. And she said, that's the truth, Lord. The modern believer would get their hackles all up. How dare you call me a dog? But she was a Gentile, and she said, Lord, that's the truth. Faith will always admit the word is truth. Amen. See, if you got real faith, and the Bible tells you you are doing wrong, you'll admit you are wrong. You won't sell. Now, wait a minute here. I won't. No, that's not faith. When the word says it, that's where you're right or wrong, is by the word. Amen. Continue on in perseverance. Now watch, she admitted, the real true faith always admits the word is right. Always admitting the word is right. Truth, Lord, I'm nothing but a dog. Truth, Lord, you wasn't sent to my race. That's the truth. She didn't want to see what this was or what that was. She just admitted that the word was right. And the spirit of faith always admits the word is right. Notice, true, Lord, I'm not after the children's bread, but just let me take the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Just the crumbs, that got him. That was it. He said, for this saying, go thy way, thy daughter is made whole. Faith admits the truth. The same now faith always goes with the word. She was perseverant, and she got what she asked for, regardless of the circumstances. Amen. Amen. Just two more here, and we'll wrap this up tonight. Questions and answers. Question, Brother Branham, is it too late to preach to sinners anymore? No. Don't get that in your mind. Brother, keep on building on the house. See? Preaching to sinners is building on the house. Keep doing everything you can. Keep on going till you're called away. See? And then finally, from the message, Why Christ Speak? He says, you say that. Now that sense is, you like to say, because it's a denomination or something big, well, we got more members than any church in the world. See, but there's only one real church. And you don't join it. You're born into it. Amen. See, and if you're born into it, the living God works himself through you to make himself known. And that's where God dwells in his church. God goes to church every day. Lives in church. He lives in you. You're his church. You are his church. You are the tabernacle that God dwells in. You are the church of the living God yourself. And if the living God lives in his living being, then your action is of God. If it isn't, then God isn't in there. He wouldn't make you act like that when he says in the word here, his blueprint, don't do it. Right? In other words, if your life doesn't line up with the word, there's something wrong on the inside. He's not the one that's in there moving you and in control. His word, his blueprint says, don't do it. You go and do it. See, that's wrong. When you deny it, that shows the life isn't even in you. See? That's right. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. We want to stay with him. We want to stay with his word. Yes. Amen. We don't want anything that's going on around us to sway us away from that word is still true. Amen. Amen. There's still power in that word. There's still power in the blood. Amen. He still heals. He still saves. He still delivers. Amen. And even if this temple be destroyed, there's still a quickening power that will raise it up again. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that little song, He's in the House. Amen. Amen. It wasn't just Jesus coming into a physical house, but he's in this house tonight. Amen. Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to say, he's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. but maybe you're here tonight and you don't know that he's in the house. Maybe you're not sure. Lord, are you dwelling in my house? He can make it sure tonight. You can be sure. You can know that you know that you know. And maybe you've just forgotten and you need a reminder. Maybe he's never come and lived in your life that way. Well, he can come if you invite him tonight. You could ask him, Lord, I want you, Lord. I want you living in my house. Lord, I want to be your temple. I want to be your dwelling place on earth. Lord, I want you to take complete control of my life. Clean me up, Lord. Put me into service. Lead me, guide me by your word. Be my friend, Lord. Be my guide. Be my provider. He'll come. You got to just invite him. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking, waiting for someone to let me in. But you've got to invite him in. You do that tonight, amen. You ask him, Lord, come. Won't you come, Lord? I know I've had experiences with you, Lord. Maybe you need a little reminder tonight. A little refresher. Lord, just remind me. Lord, remind me what it's like to know that I know, Lord. The trials of life have come and beat me down, and sometimes I forget, oh God. Sometimes my eagle eyes get crusted over. But he can come and remove all that. He can wipe away that shadow. He can make it clear again. If you're not sure, make it sure. Today is the day. Now is the time. We don't know when we might have another opportunity to invite him in while he's calling this evening. Amen. Oh, it's worth it, brother, sister. It's worth it all. It's worth humbling yourself. It's worth crying out for. It's worth travailing for. Lord, I want to die out to myself, and Lord, make sure that you're dwelling in my house. I don't want to let any part of my life be locked up. I want to open every window. I want to open every door, every crack and corner of my life. I want to open it all to you, Lord. I want to surrender from the top to the bottom, from the front door of my house, of my life. From the front door to the back door, from the attic to the basement, Lord, I want you to have complete control. Every room, Lord, it's yours. Open every door, every window, take complete control. I want you to dwell completely, Lord, in my temple. I want to be able, Lord, to say with a revelation tonight, he's in this house. I want to be able to sing that he's in this house. Won't you surrender to him that way tonight and see what he does? Amen. Little girl was lying there. People all. He can bring new life tonight. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the, he brought life. She began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to sing. He's in the house. He's here tonight. He's here in our midst, the living God, the resurrection and the life. Now there is hope. heart of mine and gave me life. He can touch you tonight. I'm just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines.